instrumental use of human rights in U.S. foreign policy. In the Iranian calendar, June 27th to July 3rd has been named as American Human Rights Week in view of the numerous crimes committed by successive administrations of the United States against the Iranian people. Since we are currently in the middle of this American Human Rights Week, special programs will be dedicated to exposing the crimes and atrocities of the U.S. government and gross violations of human rights by the U.S. itself. In this program, the first in this series of radio programs, we look at the utilization of human rights as an instrument of U.S. foreign policy. Stay tuned, please. Human rights is nothing new, of course. In the 20th century, human rights was much talked about, and many governments apparently championed human rights. Even in ancient times, concepts such as justice, equality, freedom, security, and religious rights were often talked about by leaders and rulers of various countries. But human rights, as we know them today, emerged immediately after the Second World War, when in 1948, the General Assembly of the United Nations approved the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The modern human rights emerged in 1948, and we can say that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was the first global document about human rights. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, UDHR, is a milestone document in the history of human rights. The introduction or preamble to this declaration says, "Whereas recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. Whereas disregard and contempt for human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the conscience of mankind, and the advent of a world in which human beings shall enjoy freedom of speech and belief and freedom from fear and want has been proclaimed as the highest aspiration of the common people. Whereas it is essential if man is not to be compelled to have recourse as a last resort to rebellion against tyranny and oppression, that human rights should be protected by the rule of law. Whereas it is essential to promote the development of friendly relations between nations. Whereas the peoples of the United Nations have in the Charter reaffirmed their faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, and the equal rights of men and women, and have determined to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedoms. Whereas member states have pledged themselves to achieve, in cooperation with the United Nations, the promotion of universal respect for and observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms. Whereas a common understanding of these rights and freedoms is of the greatest importance for the full realization of this pledge. Now, therefore, the General Assembly proclaims this Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations. Thus, according to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, all governments should recognize and respect the human rights of their citizens and should not infringe upon their rights. If a government denies the fundamental rights of its own people, it loses its legitimacy. Article 1 of the Declaration says, "All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood." Despite the fact that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was drawn up by Western powers themselves, in particular by the United States of America, it is true to say that Western countries, including the U.S., have a duplicitous approach toward human rights and have always adopted double standards. It is worth noting that Article 2 of the Universal Declaration says everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth in this document, without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin. But the sad truth is that the US politicians and other Western politicians do not believe that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights, irrespective of their race, color, and religion. This double standard is evident both inside the United States and with regards to its foreign policy. For example, Black Americans and colored Americans are often treated as second-class citizens. African Americans are far more likely to be mistreated by police officers and subjected to police violence than white Americans. In the U.S. judicial system, African Americans are much more likely to be treated unfairly and harshly than white Americans, and they are given harsher sentences. As far as the U.S. foreign policy is concerned, the U.S. uses human rights as a diplomatic tool whenever it is advantageous for it to do so. The U.S. ignores the different cultures and values of other nations, particularly Islamic nations, in its foreign policy. Some so-called violations of human rights in the West are actually part of the culture, values, and fundamental beliefs of people in Islamic countries. For example, execution or capital punishment is frowned upon in many Western countries, and it is outlawed in a number of European countries, but it is very much part of Islamic Sharia law. Another example is the U.S. insists and supports the rights of religious minorities living in Islamic countries, but when it comes to the rights of Muslims living in Europe or the United States, the U.S. is not bothered if Islamic sanctities are desecrated or blasphemous comments are published about the Prophet of Islam, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. In that case, the U.S. talks about freedom of speech and the right to free expression. Decision makers in Western democracies often apply double standards when it comes to human rights. While the global North will condemn and in some cases prosecute war crimes and crimes against humanity committed by the global South, there is little appetite to examine the role played by Western politicians, military leaders, and corporations in crimes against international law. Serious human rights violations committed by the U.S. government, such as torture of detainees at Guantanamo or other CIA black sites, forced disappearances, or civilian deaths by drone, are rarely prosecuted, if ever. It seems as though different standards apply to human rights abuses depending on who commits them. Another point to note is that America's interests always come first and human rights always come second. If there is a trade-off between human rights and U.S. interests, America always gives top priority to its interest rather than human rights. For example, it is not in the interest of the United States to support the human rights of Palestinians, since this angers its chief ally in West Asia, namely the Israeli regime. It is not in the interest of the United States to support the human rights of Shia Muslims of Saudi Arabia, since this angers the Saudi royal family, another important U.S. ally. The U.S. hypocrisy with regards to human rights is best illustrated in Yemen, where the U.S. has said nothing about the war crimes, genocide, and gross human rights violations of its ally Saudi Arabia. The innocent people of Yemen have suffered enormously in Saudi wage war for the past 7 years, but from the U.S. point of view, it is almost as if the Yemenis have no rights at all. U.S. human rights hypocrisy also comes into sharp focus if we compare the human rights of Ukrainians with the human rights of Palestinians. Much has been said in Western media about the human rights of Ukrainians, particularly since last February when Russia-Ukraine crisis started. But the Zionist regime has committed all sorts of crimes in Palestine for more than 70 years now, but very few U.S. politicians have anything to say about Palestinian human rights. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, aptly commented on the duplicity and hypocrisy of Americans and Europeans with regards to human rights when he compared Palestine and Ukraine and said, "The Israeli regime murders unarmed Palestinian women, children, the elderly, and the youth. It imprisons and tortures them, destroys houses and demolishes farms and property. The liars in Europe and the US who make extravagant claims about human rights and who created a commotion on the issue of Ukraine keep totally silent in the face of all these crimes and atrocities in Palestine. Not only do they not defend the innocent Palestinians, they actually help the bloodthirsty wolf, the Zionist regime. Dear listeners, we have come to the end of this program. Until our next program, goodbye and God bless.